This is the one with the other last of the Time Lords.
Internal milk.
100 trillion years and no dentist.
Apocalyptic Morlock dickheads.
And can we have a drum roll, please?
Derek freaking Jacoby.
It's called Utopia.
Here we go.
We're still on our endless voyage, all through time and all through space.
With Levine and Angels now, Daleks, Cybers, and wow.
Tennant, Smith and Eccleston, Gallifrey, where it all began.
Doctor Who is cool again, that was Russell's master plan.
Who back when?
Reviewing all new Who there is.
Who back when?
Subscribe and rate on iTunes, please.
Rose and Donna, Amy Pond, Rory, Martha and beyond. Join us on this odyssey, what other choice could there be than
Who back when?
Who back when?
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to N039 of Who Back When, a Doctor Who podcast.
Or DocBuzz.
We're reviewing Utopia today, and we're joined to my right by...
Hi there, I'm Ponkin.
Hey, Ponkin, how you doing? And to my left...
Drew Back When.
And I, as always, am Nicol Ailey.
As always.
As always.
You never change? You're never anyone else?
Maybe occasional weekend.
You never take on cloud form, or are you ever downloadable?
Currently, yes.
Oh, okay.
By all good podcast distributors. Anyway, how are we feeling about Utopia after the heady heights of Blink?
Well, this is good. This is the good second latter half of the season that we've been promised for so long. And now we are... Every week is a new thrill.
I'm personally really excited about a 3-episode arc. We haven't had one of those on New Who yet.
I see. We did mention this briefly, but I'm not so comfortable with the idea that this is a 3-parter. I think this is a standalone plus a 2-parter. I know that there are themes and it goes one meld into the other, but
well,
I feel
officially
like...
they're a 3-parter.
Ah,
so I don't remember. anything about Utopia before rewatching it for this review. I certainly don't remember anything about the next 2 installments. But according to TARDIS Wikia, they are parts 1, 2, and 3.
In my opinion, this is absolutely a 3-parter. There is unresolved peril.
Yeah.
And the peril continues. This isn't peril being set up to be resolved later. This is going to be resolved next week.
Bingo.
Nah, I demarcate by masters.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
You mentioned Blink as a comparison. Blink kind of starts where this one ends. Like, Blink starts with the Doctor and Martha having been separated from the TARDIS, and now they have to figure out a way to travel back in time or get the TARDIS back, and this one ends. Oh my goodness. Drew, make some noise! There's a microphone in front of you.
That's the perfect definition of how this isn't a standalone episode. If the Doctor is separated from the TARDIS, he needs to get back into it before we can get any closure.
No.
I've heard that one before. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I completely agree with you.
I don't buy it.
Fine, well, there are 2 of us on you, so.
Yeah. Contrarian.
Right, should we jump into a bite-sized chunk of Who?
Let's.
Bite-sized chunk of hurtling through time and space with Captain Jack Hotness attached to the TARDIS, Doc and Martha arrive squidgillion, million, gajillion years in the future on the planet Malcasario, where mankind has reverted to type and is preparing to escape the collapse of the universe and pursue Utopia.
Doc and co encounter Professor Yana, who's the manifestation of the world's worst put-together acronym, who's making a rocket out of super noodles with the help of a gossamer-veiled Japanese insect assistant.
Meanwhile, outside, a rabid horde of Morlock-esque cannibals hunt the deadliest sport of all. Man.
Bees scowl over. You are welcome.
Aren't you just...
Sorry, I improvised a little bit there. just angered by Yana.
Yeah, that's in my notes as well.
Ah, not alone.
And then just the cop stars. You will never...
Yeah. Our story begins with the French Huguenots. Where a dashing aristocrat, after years evading the eye of the authorities, is finally imprisoned for his nonconformist beliefs. Making a daring escape from an impenetrable fortress, he makes for the Protestant haven of England across the Channel. The family fall on hard times and must survive in the unforgiving environment of London's East End, but centuries hence, one of their descendants will grow up to fame, to acclaim, to be the greatest actor England has ever seen, Derek Jacoby.
So how are we feeling? I mean, I'm...
So excited! I just can't hide it!
Go on in. Derek freaking Jacoby.
How many months have you been talking about Derek Jacoby?
Oh, I've been talking about him my entire life.
You talk about him more than his loved ones. There are people that know Derek Jacoby that don't talk about him this much.
Well, yeah, familiarity breeds contempt. They are wrong, by the way, podcast land.
Well, so go on. Give me your favourite... Other than this episode, what's your favourite Derek Jacoby moment?
Oh, well, like Claudius, I suppose.
Surely, yes. Yeah, surely.
Must be.
I mean,
yeah.
It's totemic.
And didn't we look up
every year?
Didn't we look up he was in Gladiator? But I can't remember.
We
who
did
he was.
Look that. Yes,
yeah. Gracchus. He plays lots of old people with Romanesque names.
Mm, fair enough. And what do we think about him in this?
Leon, why don't you go first?
He is master material. I am so bummed out that he is only the master for this episode, and he doesn't even know it himself.
Well, for like 40 seconds at the end.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah. I suppose. He's actually the master for about 40 seconds, but he's such a fantastic actor. He outshines everyone and everything. Just imagine for a second having a master of his caliber instead of, like, a boy band-level actor, John Sim.
I like that this taxonomy of levels of actor are in different types of pop artists. So there's a boy band level,
yeah.
Then there's the girl band level, there's the starlet.
I realize this is maybe not the most intuitive system, but in my head, this makes perfect sense.
Derek,
like,
Jacobi is fucking Wagner.
I was going to say Mozart, but yes, Wagner, even more appropriate.
I thought
yes,
it was going to
exactly.
be Buble. Then, I thought it would be Buble.
Whereas Mr. Sim is like whatever the dude who then had drug issues in Backstreet Boys. I mean, he's a great actor, and there's a good interplay between him and Tennant, but
did Frank Sinatra Jr.
have
a son?
Better?
Frank Sinatra Jr., maybe he's like that.
He was a brickie.
Or is it maybe a problem? Like, so we have Tennant, who's young, he was a bit of a chick magnet, right? Mm. Probably still is. Would it not have made for good television if we had had an older, more mature master, as his nemesis?
Well,
would Derek Jacobi be a better master for Capaldi, for example?
That, no, see, I like the interplay, like what you just mentioned there. If there was a young Tennant and old master, yeah, it was a young doctor, old master, but the familiarity of companionship almost, or whatever,
yeah.
That, I feel that would be like a good tension, where it's like we look at each other as if we've known each other our whole lives, but as an audience, that would be incongruous for us because these two people would be of different ages. And that would be an interesting thing to play out on screen versus two people that look roughly the same age.
Yeah, and I think it could have brought different aspects out of each of their performances. It could have brought mature aspects out of Tennant instead of having him as an adolescent man-child against another one. It could have given Jacobi some more dynamics as well, but instead of just old man, young
man. It's sort of the same syndrome that Sherlock suffered when they brought back Moriarty, and they had to make him young, good-looking, and you know, like, dynamic in that sense, rather than like, oh, here's someone with ponder, someone who's carrying a fucking load of weight.
Do you know
to
who
the role
I would have liked? Is a total aside as Moriarty, Michael Gambon. I feel like Michael Gambon would have made a fucking awesome Moriarty as a juxtaposition to young, sexy Sherlock.
Sort of heavy and Todd-esque.
Yeah, absolutely. And insidious in tone. Like, he sounds like he knows some stuff.
He would have been, that guy that Michael Gambon played in Layer Cake. Right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a fucking badass Moriarty-esque character.
Yeah.
Anyway, this episode does not star Michael Gambon or John Sim.
No, it's true.
It stars one person and one person alone. He took me to paradise. Not quite utopia.
Well,
pretty amazing.
You're not alone. Sorry. Let's segue real quick into that. So, you know Bad Wolf? Bad Wolf was actually a really wicked structural device as a series that actually does turn up in various places. The translated version of Bad Wolf, all of that was cool.
Yeah.
The fuck? Y-N-A. I wasn't at all moved by that. That didn't seem clever to me. Anyone else?
I'm not so sure it's meant to be clever. I mean, it pisses me off like crazy. It's such a dumb sort of cliffhanger. They're trying to be Chris Nolan at the end of the episode. It just doesn't work at all. It's more M. Night Shyamala Ding Dong. But I wonder if it's just kind of a coincidence. Do you think that? Maybe
a cosmic coincidence.
Yeah. Maybe no one. I would like to think that this is just a coincidence, that the face of Bo isn't a pretentious dickhead. Wow, dickhead. After millions and millions of years of existence, figuring, I'll just give this dude a phrase and he'll piece it together, or maybe not, I don't give a shit. But at the end, he's going to think, wow, wasn't that big head really clever? I think maybe it was just
a
coincidence.
The big head is Captain Jack, right?
Yeah. Oh, I know. It's in my notes as well. Fucking face of Bo.
That would be so... I need to have more... Well, I guess, no, actually, the subtext is rich, isn't it? It's brilliant as an idea, how you get from there to there.
Yes, but Is it in Doctor Who or is it in Torchwood? No, it must be in Doctor Who, where we get that reveal. Oh, right, Captain Jack, he is the face of Bol. And the way that we get the reveal is, this is probably much later in the series.
Yeah.
He says something to the effect of, he's being complimented on his looks, and he says something to the effect of, yes, I know, when I was young, I was on the stage or something, and do you know what they called me? They called me the face of Bol, as in B-E-A-U.
Yeah.
They name check the face of Bol in this episode with Captain Jack right there. Why doesn't he ever go like, coincidence, guys, wait, hang on, let me tell you a story. Like, people used to call me that.
Yeah.
Why does he not piece that together?
Maybe it was just fleeting, absolute happenstance humility. Just for 1 second, completely out of character, he thought, another time. Another time.
Let the head have this one.
Yeah.
Having lived through this experience, why does he not think, the Doctor could do with knowing who the Master is about 5 minutes early? Maybe I'll just say Yana when I die.
This is a very good point, actually. Does the face of Bol... I guess it maybe depends on whether they had already figured out face of Bol equals Captain Jack. But would the face of Bol at this point, or you know, in the future, would he remember everything that Captain Jack has done? Or would maybe millions of years in the future, maybe he forgot everything?
He's reaching back through 9 veiled layers of pseudo-memories.
Exactly.
Know? This is as close as he can get now.
That's a better explanation than just him wanting to be pointlessly enigmatic. Why does he not introduce himself at the first, in the end of the Earth?
The face of Bol?
Yeah.
I think only because they hadn't figured that out yet.
Yeah.
Oh, but Russell's all about the blackboard and the pants.
The red string and the jam.
Yeah.
Mm.
Maybe he just put too much jam. He obscured that clue and then after a while it dripped down. He's like, shit, oh, I knew I was supposed to put that in.
There was something about a head. Yeah, the Yana thing really, it's
poor. Super fucking poor.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. But hey, let's go from face of Bol, whatever. Captain Jack is in this one. Captain How great Jack. Is that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Doctor!
I thought Captain Jack was probably best of the three recurrings, as in Doctor and Martha. I think he probably
agrees.
Better.
And yeah. He just has such panache.
Yeah. And it was well written the way that they got the sort of Doctor looking at him with a side eye all the time. It was quite cool.
You mean like, oh, yeah, right, because the Doctor knows what's going on and so on.
Hmm.
This is my first Captain Jack episode in New Who, because he hasn't been around for a while.
Oh, you mean on Who Back When?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's probably true. The last time we saw him was during the Blitz with Rose.
Yeah, I wasn't even here. And I was quite impressed. I mean, I haven't seen him in an episode for years. I didn't watch Torchwood, but I thought he's pretty good.
I think he's fantastic. I'd also really missed the Captain Jack music. Like, that music that they play every single time that they have a mysterious Captain Jack moment.
So when did he get left behind? He got left behind in that Blitz episode. I can't quite remember. Or was it Canary Wharf?
I think
Wharf?
In this episode he's... Oh, was he in Canary Wharf?
Well, no, he wasn't, was he? Because he mentions it.
He says that he heard about it or something and then he asks about Rose and so on.
I was just trying... Because that threw me for a second. I was like, you weren't in there.
Yeah. I thought he said something to the effect of he bounced around space and time a whole bunch.
Mm.
And then either his...
Time agents, vortex manipulator.
Vortex manipulator, thank you very much. Yes, exactly. That had either broken or been stolen or something, so now he was stuck and he had to stick around for like 100 years.
Yeah, because the Doctor wasn't in England at all during the 20th century, so how could he possibly have run into him before
now? Yeah, it's nonsense. Oh, sorry, go for
it. How does it work with the Blitz? Because he had to live through that again. Couldn't he just
He probably just stayed away. He probably stayed away to... Because I think he actually gives a roundabout explanation for this. He says, I had to wait for you and Martha, like the right version of you and Martha along the timeline to show up. And I knew that you would eventually. And I didn't want to fuck up time and space.
Oh, I guess.
He's a fixed point. He's got nothing to worry about. The universe can just collapse around him and he's left in the void.
So what happens when two iterations of the same fixed point encounter each other? For example, during the Blitz.
Good question. Bullshit squared?
I think
absolutely.
So, possibly.
Literally fucking nothing.
Yeah.
Why is Cardiff so fucking important?
Oh, Rick in space
rip,
and time.
Exactly.
Suck a bag of dicks, is it?
Not be somewhere.
Never turned. It's just like, ooh, we film out of BBC Wales now. Let's have a gratuitous Cardiff shot for literally no reason.
Oh, well, we've had Cardiff appear on Doctor Who before.
Well, the Slitheen then.
Yes,
but this
exactly.
is what I'm saying. Like, it's fine, is it a location for certain things, but just like, why for the first 5 minutes of this? It's pointless. And the TARDIS needs fuel, like...
Yeah, exactly. Like, you just park atop the rift and absorb some of that fuel. But do you think that maybe some of the Doctor Who fans who live in Cardiff, who live with the fact of Doctor Who is literally being shot around the corner, do you think that maybe they're a little bit ticked off that they never get to see sort of themselves on Doctor Who? And maybe this is a way of going, hey, you guys.
I don't know. I still watch Lewis, and I don't give a fuck that I'm not in it.
Yeah, that's true.
No, but when you watch Lewis, do you not take a little bit, like a little glint of pleasure from like, oh, that's Oxford. Like, I know where that is. Oh, that's around the corner.
I guess so.
Yeah, why am I not in the background? That's my corner.
You find yourself getting irrational. I guess the people of Cardiff get the same irrational problem with like, watch X-Men.
First class.
And watching that, and they're like, that pub isn't fucking there, you're lying.
Like, there's no door in that wall.
Yeah, absolutely. She's fully upset with the idea that there was this mythical pub under the bridge of Sighs.
What's more upsetting is there's a perfectly good gap in the wall that leads to a pub 10 feet further down.
Which seems much more whimsical.
Yeah.
Yes.
Anyway.
Oh, absolutely.
Truth is more whimsical than fiction. Anyway, this is another segue.
Yeah.
Shall we?
This episode brought to you by the Turf Tavern.
Does the TARDIS routinely need fuel? Or is that just
this
bullshit?
I think this happens every now and then. I think every single time that they go to Cardiff, in fact, they do it for this reason.
How about Classic, though?
That's what I mean. Like, the last 50 years, they ain't gone to fucking Cardiff, have they?
Oh, I wish JD were in the room to comment on that. I'm assuming yes, because there's another occasion in New Who where they refuel the TARDIS, but not in Cardiff.
Does it happen already,
or is it later? There's like a collapsing star or something?
No, that wasn't fuel. He was using it to send a message to Rose.
Yeah, to the other universe.
I mean, orbiting a dying star.
Oh, there's that as well, but I really feel like at some point the TARDIS basically engulfs a collapse, like a supernova or something, and harnesses that energy to, recharge the batteries.
Well, okay, here's another question. How powerful is that space-time rift that they're there for 20 seconds, and that's enough to send them 100 trillion years into the future, no problem? And then back again for John Sim.
Yeah.
Won't the whole universe be coming to this time-space rift, being like, we could do literally anything?
That's a very good point.
Maybe they've got the wrong charger cable.
Do you know what I mean?
Like, it's a really specific iPhone 7 or whatever charger cable, and only TARDIS is. Only that TARDIS.
Yeah, it's called an electrical arch. In a TARDIS.
That's a fucking arch.
Fuck you. Or an arc. Or
a power arc.
If you're listening, Apple.
It's time to recall my history. Derek, George, Tiberius, Claudius, Drusus, Jacoby. Claw to his friends. Was born to his mother Daisy, nay Masters, into the pre-war tumult of 1938 in Leytonstone. The chilly October air rang with the cries of baby Jacoby. Such powers of projection already marked him out for theatrical greatness. Hitler heard of the young acting king and decided to wipe out English theatre forever so that Goebbels' propaganda films might win Oscars, and World War II began.
Shall we maybe talk about the whole, the year, trillion, gajillion, whatever it is?
100 trillion.
100 gajillion, majillion.
Yeah.
11 billion.
So I'm so upset. Okay, let me start with the myriad of things. So let's get over the idea that we're still bipedal.
But they're not still bipedal, they're bipedal again.
Okay, but the future kind of still bipedal.
Yeah.
Right?
That's bullshit.
And have all, basically, very little in the way of evolution. In the amount that a lot less time has already passed in our universe.
What, Cassandra 18 Delta, you mean?
No, I mean now.
Oh, right, now.
Like, there's been 4 billion years or something like that, and, like, a whole universe has spun up, and this planet, you know, and life from an amoeba to where we are now.
Wait, hang on, are they on Earth?
No.
They're not on Earth, are they? They're somewhere else, like a human colony somewhere.
Yes.
Fine, that's not the point. The point that in 100 trillion years or whatever.
Yeah.
That is like, I can't even do the math times what we've already just done.
No, I get what you're trying to say, but there's a soundbite.
25,000.
There's a...
Well, 25,000 of this.
Yes, I'm completely on board with that. And I hated it. And in my notes, I've corrected myself. Because in a little bit later on in the episode, after we get to know when they are and we get to see some of both the future kind and the humans, we get a soundbite that's... explains it again. It's basically the soundbite that is there that we needed in Star Trek, for example, to say, this is why everyone looks like humans with shit on their faces. And soundbites.
Might have spent a million years evolving into clouds of gas and another million as downloads, but you always revert to the same basic shape. The fundamental humans.
This is why I said before, like, oh, are you downloadable and so on. So this is just the way for Doctor Who to go... Yes, we use regular human actors.
Fine.
We're not CGIing
fine,
energy clouds.
Let's get over that for a second. I mean, to be honest, that wasn't the thing I was at most upset about because I don't know evolutionary
biology. Were you upset about the doctor calling us basic? Because he's a fucking racist.
That's fine. Evolutionary biology. Well, because, I mean, if we're basic, do you just go around hanging out with essentially this handicapped race? Is that your, like, that's where you get your kicks, is looking clever in front of us ants? Like,
yes.
Fuck you. But no, worse than that, worse than all of this, worse than the idea that we're still, like I said, bipedal and all that sort of stuff, because I don't know evolutionary biology.
You think we should have wheels? Well. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, why not? No, well, this is it. Why have we still got fairly crude assault rifles?
Oh, yes, that's a very good point. Like, technology has not evolved at all. Well, no. I mean, it has to a certain degree, but certainly not as much as you'd expect.
It's hard to improve on the lethal elegance of the bullet.
Talk to the US military. They're working on it, baby.
Yeah, it's costing a lot of money, though.
Okay, yes, technology, all right, fine. We have...
Or the chain link fence.
Yeah.
That's, oh, no.
The
yes.
chain link fence and the, like, the bike lock that they use to secure it. Yeah. God damn it.
I did get a real sense that they'd gone to the nearest abandoned quarry outside the Welsh Parliament 100 trillion years from now to shoot this episode.
Well, that was a thought of mine when I watched this. Do you think that, because they are absolutely in a quarry, do you think this is the same legendary quarry that the BBC always went to for every alien world in Classic Who? I can't Probably. Remember what this quarry is called now. We've mentioned it on Who Back When before. Like, there's this one place, and BBC basically just has the most beneficial licensing rights to this quarry. So they just, oh, now it's Mars, now it's Venus, now it's another galaxy.
That's where they used to burn all the old Doctor Who tapes.
Ritualistically.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure I've seen that quarry before.
Okay, so we've got humans and shit technology. What about the Morlocks?
Oh,
future kinds.
So they were pointless. They literally had no bearing on the story.
They did have a point.
What?
Points in their mouths. Pointy teeth.
But literally, what? If the peril, why not get rid of the Morlocks and say, oh, the planet's going to die and we really need this fucking rocket?
That's quite enough peril.
I've got a different question for you guys.
Oh?
How the fuck did the Morlocks get there? So, hear me out. This is not a human colony per se. This
no,
is it's that insectoid race, right?
Whatever they're called.
Yeah.
Yes. Chantho of the Malmuth.
Malmuth.
Thor.
Yes.
That race died out. Weirdly, one of them survived. And but
there's always the last of a kind. That's how anything is poignant in Doctor Who.
I suppose, but the place isn't littered with whatever they were called. Corpses, right? Yeah. Anyway, so this was not a human world. Humans have existed on this world a relatively short space of time, right? Because...
Only a few hundred trillion years, don't worry.
Well, did they go there with...
No, like, absolutely.
I don't think so. I'm assuming that they went there after all of the insects died off, right? Because otherwise what we're saying is humans went there, insects died.
No.
Coincidence alert.
That's not a coincidence. That's literally what we do to everything.
Yeah, yes, I know. But they've arrived there a maximum of... Let's say the lifespan of that one last insect ago.
Mm.
But in that time, humanity has also separated, like split off into two separate factions, one of which has evolved to have sharp teeth and weird, like, shit tattoos and be cannibals and, like, crazy people.
Oh, those aren't tattoos. That's just pudding.
Oh, I see.
That's just, but they're just really bad at getting
pudding.
Strike
everything I said from the record. That makes perfect sense.
Any cutlery, man.
And hence the shit teeth. They eat so much pudding and they just get it all around themselves. It's,
But so did they go to this alien world with a bunch of future kind barbarians in the hold or something? Like, how did they... At some point, they must have split off. Why did they do that? Or were there future kind on this world already? They killed the insects. You could theorize here, I think.
Possibly, yeah. That seems...
And then, like, unevolved, or, like, under-evolved humans who have not yet turned into barbarians arrive and go, oh, shit. Wow, look at what we did.
Or,
okay,
current humans started giving birth to future kind and they just started kicking them out Spartan style.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, for exposure. But the end of the universe is too hospitable an environment and they all survived.
Yeah, but they never got kicked out with a toothbrush, so...
That's madness.
I agree that the Doctor should arrive at the end of the universe and say, humans, yeah, it would be you fucked everything up. Of course there's no one else left.
But isn't it the kind of, I don't know, it's just like, oh, all the great civilizations gone, all this is like... Well, these guys are fucked then. Whatever utopia is, that's over soon too.
Yeah.
Oh, no, but that's the promise of the unknown, isn't it? I mean, it might not be. It's beyond the pools of the impossible.
Well,
and
literally just said it was the end of the universe.
Of the universe, exactly.
Yeah, but it's yonder, past... Sorry.
Past the universe? It's outside of the universe?
Sorry, did I shout in your face?
No, I'm upset with the idea that they haven't managed to rectify the logic of this is the end of the universe, said many times. and this utopia exists extra from the universe.
How do they know it's the end of the universe, by the way? Actually, there's only one person who knows that it's the end of the universe.
Yeah.
That's the Doctor.
Mm-hmm.
These people, they don't know that it's the end of the universe, quote-unquote, as per BBC logic.
Well,
all they know is that their planet is fucked and someone sent a distress call or, like, a welcoming message.
Yeah, I haven't seen the episode after this, so I don't actually know whether the rocket gets to Utopia or not. So, do they arrive somewhere?
I have a vague recollection of what happens.
I know exactly what happens.
I think... shall we say it?
No, let's not say it. Oh, now, ruin it for me.
He needs to watch it.
Yeah, I need to be disappointed next week.
Okay, when we press stop, you and I, just a very quick, like, yeah? Yeah? Yes. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Well, they make it, Drew, by the way.
Oh, great! I'm pleased. So yeah, is this RTD just doing Mad Max, essentially?
Sort of. Shit Mad Max.
Mad Max. You can't have post-apocalyptic crazy barbarians without them wearing tires, which I think these guys are doing as well.
This would have been better if they'd done Sad Max with sad sax just in the background. Just like sad saxophone.
Yeah, maybe sad sax from the Raggy Dolls as well.
And then sad saxon. Just kicking it in the background.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Okay, this all got away from me. Let's move on.
So, an introductory note, because Derek Jacobi is monitoring the human hunt. Did you know that he's actually the current master at this point, anyway? In a sort of non-canon way?
Yes. Is it this an audiobook, right?
No, it's a thing the BBC put on their website as a cheapy flash animation produced by Cosgrove Hall called Scream of the Shalker, which was all anyone got from the BBC Doctor Who-wise between Paul McGann and Rose.
Yeah.
It was produced in 2003. Richard E. Grant was the Doctor, and Derek Jacobi was the Master in it.
Really? Richard E. Grant was the Doctor? So he's been the Doctor twice? Because Richard E. Grant is also the Doctor in one of those, what's it called, Children in Need comedic shows.
Comic Relief.
Yeah.
Yes, it was. I looked it up.
Huh. Well, that was really cool.
And that was written by Paul Cornell.
No way!
Yes way!
Aw, Paulie.
Cornell.
He was keeping the dream alive.
P-sizzle. He likes it when I call him that.
Yeah. But it's not all going well with Jacobi, because he's hearing drums.
He is hearing drums, yes. I had forgotten about that. That was a powerful memory all of a sudden.
Well, see, the drums were cool with Jacobi, and they get way less cool with...
John Sim. See, I don't remember that.
They try to carry that through, and it doesn't.
Is that a Time Lord thing?
It's a Master thing.
Yeah, because he's mad.
He looked into the... Vortex or
yes,
some
exactly.
shit in her drum. The war drums. Drums of war. I don't know. Some shit.
Right. Okay.
And now when anything significant happens, it looks like he needs to leave.
The war won. Derek took to acting at his local school. On one occasion, for a dare, he played the role of a banana. So committed was he to the role that he remained silent even as one of the boys began to peel him. And only when he'd been unsheathed right to the base did he emit a slight yelp.
Okay, how do we feel about Insectoid? What's her name? Chantho. Yes.
Chantho.
Chantho, though.
Nicely done.
Thanks.
That's very polite of you.
I thought she was pretty cool. Apart from the internal milk, which kind of freaked me out.
Well, that at least differentiated her from Martha.
Because all of Martha's milk is external, is that what you're trying to say?
Well, I suppose.
A man can dream.
Is that your Venn diagram up there?
You know what I mean? Throughout this entire episode, the parallels between her and Martha are just shoved in our faces and down our throats. I started calling her Motha.
Oh,
very
nice.
Good. Very good.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, so which parallels do we have? We have the obvious unrequited love.
Yep. She's made to do the donkey work by someone who barely notices she's there.
She's nowhere near as intelligent as the person she's working with.
But is a doctor? Scientist?
She's a scientist just as Martha is a, well, doctor. Sort of a doctor, yeah.
And also, the real world parallel we can't really ignore is that she's played by an ethnic actress or a non-white actress. Similarly, she seems to be Japanese, which, as we said before in Doctor Who, is the ne plus ultra of exotica.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's come up. Yeah. All right.
And they do all the donkey work. At one point in this episode...
Also, they're both smoking.
In this episode, Martha is put in front of a computer screen, and Derek Jacobi tells her to just keep hitting the reboot button while we go over here and be important.
To be fair, like you said, it looked like a rocket made of super noodles.
Yeah.
I missed that fucking lesson at school, so I'd be no use.
Yeah. But maybe if over the last 15 years he'd asked her for an opinion once, she could have made that super noodle rocket fly.
So why are they trying to... Is the only reason they're trying to go to Utopia that they've had this message from there?
No, because there's a whole myth around it. It's not just the message, but there's a whole... Because they say about...
Oh, they sent something out at some point.
Yes, to look for it. I don't know, some shit. And then we're going to do experiment. I don't really know. But there is some, like all good myths and legends, there's some grain of truth in there.
Yeah, and it's pretty much the only hope they have. The universe is dying.
But they don't know that, right?
Well, they know every star has gone out.
Yeah, all the galaxies died. Jacoby hasn't told them that the rocket isn't working, but I think they can't help but be aware of the general situation.
That's so shitty of him, by the way.
This is some bullshit as well. Yeah. It's like, oh, we're going to Utopia. They don't have any stars either.
Well, wait. No. Let's just backtrack and revisit a topic that we've already talked about. The whole, like, Utopia is somewhere outside of the universe. Maybe they do have stars there. Maybe it's from a completely different... How can they chart this? If they know exactly where it is, then it must be, like, within the known universe, right?
It's just a rocket. From what I can gather, it's not a TARDIS, which itself also can't, or at least has purported to, all the way back through, not traverse universes.
Do we even know?
It does, occasionally, but it's all by accident and shit. Doesn't it, right? Parallels, and it goes, and it was all by accident and nonsense. Yeah. And we weren't supposed to cross the void and all sorts
of... Well, I mean, this is the end of the universe. This is a... very special scenario. Maybe they have detected some sort of cosmic anomaly and they think, well, our one chance of surviving beyond next week is that this is a parallel universe taking up the space that our universe is giving up as it contracts.
I mean, that literally never comes up.
No.
So we're heading for that wormhole.
But that's to keep Utopia more of a mystery so that I'm not disappointed till next week. Or possibly pleased.
See, I would have liked to have heard... way more about the backstory over the backstory of Utopia.
I would have
and
been.
Also just an explanation of where the fuck is it? Like, where is it?
I would have been fine with the idea that what they're trying to do is break through, like in the Final Frontier, and shatter through and find God, I don't know.
Or that it's a parallel universe.
Yeah, whatever it is. But the idea that they're trying to break through a collapsing universe and go to something else, that's the plan, rather than heading to another place called Utopia. Like, that just sounds like a name. And they also don't have any fucking stars, is what went through my head.
They also didn't seem very sure of this Utopia signal coming from the alleged Utopia, whatever planet or rocket or whatever it was. If someone is sent off on a mission that ideally is going to give a new destination for all of the remaining members of the human race, there'd be a little bit more of maybe validation involved.
No.
Yes, we are Utopia. Come on over. That shouldn't be enough. It should be here are like the millions and millions of security codes. And like, you know, here's a sample of my DNA to prove that I'm not whatever, like a bear monster.
Like I say, they've got no choice.
I'd take my chances with a bear monster over Abyss.
Yeah.
Bear monster might be all right.
My opinion is that at this point, Derek Jacoby is just playing Donald Trump. He's saying, make the universe great again. People are going,
we're
going
to build
that.
A rocket and the insects are going to pay for it.
Yeah, exactly. Let's build a wall. Keep the future kind out.
This podcast is going to age well, isn't it? Bring back Bob Dole.
So
Bob Dole doesn't need this.
So why haven't they left already? I mean,
because they can't make the fucking rocket work.
Yeah, the footprint won't couple or whatever it is.
But is it a question... Yes, you are absolutely right about that. But there's something that the... Does he call himself the Professor? Professor Yana? Mm.
Yeah, so even though he didn't go to a university, he's just a charlatan.
I quite liked that.
Yeah, that was a nice line, actually. But is that something that... Isn't there something that Professor Yana has said, that he's keeping from everyone else? Like, basically, actually, it's never going to work.
Yeah, well, basically, right? And the doctor shows up and goes like, oh, I'm very clever, and makes it work.
Yeah, very easily.
Well, no, for 5 minutes, he's like... No, I don't know what you're talking about. Oh, hang on, I've got this magic stick. I'm brilliant.
So true.
And for just £50, you can be too. Yeah, I mean, Captain Jack is the real hero because he doesn't die in the big radiation chamber.
Oh, he bloody should, though.
Well, okay, yes, again. So we saw someone get full evaporated.
Turned into confetti.
And
you're right.
Captain Jack might not be able to die. In that traditional sense.
But he's not, like, impervious to whatever, radiation.
Stet radiation.
Yes, exactly.
Now, I'm going to go comic book for this for a second.
Go for it.
So in the X-Men, in the comic books, there is the Professor Xavier, he has, like, a protocol for how to kill Wolverine, because he heals too fast. Wolverine heal, that's his superpower. He heals the crazy bastard. And basically to remove his head and then keep it away from his body. That's the way to murder him.
Wow, it took a professor's title to figure that one out.
Well, quite.
Okay.
But, I mean, he's made of adamantium and stuff.
Sure. Like, how are you going to cut it off, man?
Well, quite. I'm sure there's more to the plan than this. But what I'm saying is, doesn't that essentially make sense for Captain Jack, and turning him into confetti would do essentially the same thing?
Yeah, there is that Torchwood series where, I think we, did this come up in conversation?
Where no one can die.
Exactly, this came up in conversation after we pressed stop on our Blink recording, I think. Yeah, there's the series Earth Day. Anyway, there's a whole series dedicated to one storyline in which absolutely no one can die. It's an incredibly dark, very, very good series.
So good.
Fantastic, even though it ends on that really shitty, like, oh, now we've spawned an American spin-off, yay, which then bonds. Anyway, well, actually never even had a liftoff, but it doesn't matter. There's a scene in that one, earmuffs if you don't want to have this spoiled, there's a scene where people are, well, basically cremated, and they remain alive.
Yes.
And it's one of the most, like, one of the scariest things. Like, you have basically a pile of ash that is still self-aware, is unable to do anything. Is that not exactly what would happen here?
And exactly what happened in Heaven Sent, when everybody's just screaming in their graves. No one thought of that.
Bingo. Exactly. Yeah. Oh, God.
Oh, man. Yeah, Doctor Who gets dark sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes it really, really does.
Yeah, but no, you're right. I'm with Nick in that.
And me, I'm agreeing.
And you in that. Shit, okay, man. He can, he can be on the floor. He can be on the floor for 20 seconds, wake up, be like, was someone kissing me? Great line, by the way.
Yeah, nice.
But he's not the T-1000.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I completely agree. Yeah. Was he even wearing a suit while he was in there?
Don't think so.
I don't think so either.
So what you're saying is basically he should turn into confetti, but then once the radiation dips below a threshold, at that point he might come back as Captain Jack?
In the early 1980s, Derek suffered from stage fright for a spell of a couple of years. This wasn't to say that the actor himself was afflicted, but all across the country the stages would tear themselves up and refuse to work, for fear of being unworthy of the celebrated thespian playing upon them. Derek once asked Gielgud if he'd ever experienced anything similar, and the great man was said to have replied, "Oh, piss off."
Let's talk Fobwatch.
Oh, yes. That's my next note! I think it's way too early.
Oh, to mention the Fobwatch?
No. On Doctor Who, not on Who Back When. We had, like, the Fobwatch was introduced 3 episodes ago, sorry.
Well, so was the Time Agent's Vortex Manipulator, I think.
No, that was ages ago.
That was fairly recent.
That's how he turns up.
Yeah, that was in, like, Eccleston times. Oh, okay. And that I think, definitely, very good reference. That duration, that period of time, however many series, like a series and a half, I guess. Perfect. That's a great callback, and, like, I remember the thing, I remember what it looks like, I get how we can still have Captain Jack in different times and so on and so on. I get it. But, like, the Fobwatch, we just had it.
See, it would have been better.
Don't
milk it. I don't think it has to go as far as cross-season or cross-series. I think it could have been, if Family of Blood and
Human Nature, Family of Blood.
Yeah, if that was earlier in the season, if that was, like, first three, you know, 2 or 3, and then right at the end of the season, that would have been quite poignant. But yeah, you're right.
Yeah, sure. Well, then you have, like, a season.
Yeah, what it seemed to me is like, oh, you don't think that much of us guys.
Yeah.
Like,
we might forget, yeah.
Yeah. But, okay, other than that, the scene where Martha discovers said Fobwatch,
yep,
is pretty well acted.
It's fantastic, actually. Mm. Yeah. She does a really, really good job.
And she does the same job in Family of Blood, or Human Nature, in fact, where Jenny, mother of mine, is revealing herself and she's asking probing questions and is obviously petrified, but is...
Yes, actually, yes. Mm. Very, very true. Mm. Like, when you hear her voice change in Family... Yes. Oh, yeah. Nice one. Okay, another point about the Fobwatch.
Mm.
We now get the explanation for how you change back into a Time Lord.
We do?
Well, sort of. So, I assumed before, I think we all assumed, in Family of Blood, that the Doctor, he inhales the fairy dust... He gains the mind of the Doctor, the personality of the Doctor, but he's still human, biologically speaking, so he has to go back into the TARDIS, plop his Fobwatch in the whatever is called Communion Arch, Jinx, Drood, and then he is biologically turned back into...
You guys both thought that. I didn't give them enough credit.
I'm not sure I felt that way. I think that the writing was sloppy enough to not to have closed that loop.
Yeah.
Well, shit, then...
You're on your own, man.
Then that rubbish, like, deliberately rubbish writer's theory that I presented in that review is valid, that what? He just, like, he really, really clenched and just plopped out well, a second heart.
I said that in
That's what happens in this one.
Well, in Human Nature, when you guys weren't remembering what...
Yeah, that everything's going to be worse.
I told you it would be the least satisfying re-transformation or...
Well, in this one, he's very clearly human, right? As in, he has passed through the exact same process the Doctor did in Human Nature... He just inhales some of the fairy dust, he remembers everything, and then, boom, he regenerates. As in, he gets shot and he regenerates. But he shouldn't, because he's a human. He should get shot and basically die, or, you know, stumble into the TARDIS and do the whole chameleon arch thing.
Yeah, he has no chameleon arch whatsoever.
Well, he probably assumes that there's one in the TARDIS.
Yeah, but he doesn't access one.
No, but the point is, he doesn't have to.
Yeah, I'm on board with this, because we never thought that there was anything more to this than slop.
I thought so! I wanted to...
We didn't want to burst your bubble,
I had more faith in Paul Cornell.
Okay, so you're thinking when he gets shot...
Yeah.
He thinks that there's a chameleon arch in the top.
No. I'm saying this episode verifies you don't need one to turn back into one. No, all you need is that fairy dust and that's it.
What you're saying is, Nick was right.
Yes, it is worse than what I expected. You are absolutely right.
Much worse.
Oh.
So, Chantho shoots him. That's
kind of... No. We can't just jump to Chantho shooting him. Because the music is building.
Oh, of course.
And Jacoby is fully acting at the top of his game.
Fully erect.
He turns ever so slowly with grace and measured poise to Chantho, stares into the screen, and for a few brief seconds, everything is perfect.
Man, you're a Derek Jacobite.
Absolutely.
He's great. And also, just the drums have been building throughout this episode. Now, I don't know whether this is the writing ramping up the tension perfectly or Derek Jacobi doing it with his acting, but I thought that that whole progression throughout the episode was really effective. And the music also, I thought, was better in this episode than usual, and that accompanied it effectively.
Mm.
And so it wasn't just because it was Derek Jacobi, although it's unavoidable.
That certainly helped.
Yeah, but yeah. I really did think that this episode was paced very well.
We do get a little bit of interplay between Derek Jacobi and Tennant as well, right? Over the radio, I think. Do we not?
Yes.
Is the radio?
Well, that's how he gets revealed, doesn't he?
Yeah. There?
I mean, I think the interplay between the Master, Jacobi Master, and Chantho was pretty... That's pretty dark, you know. It's like, Alcazar's provoked. It's like, who would you be saying that to? What, the non-police at the end of the universe? There's no one here, mate. It's just you.
Yeah, has he already revealed he's the Master to the Doctor at that point? Because if the Doctor ran back up, then he could say, oh, I'm old Jacobi. It was just self-defense.
Yeah, but he doesn't... I mean, that's the Master's MO. He doesn't give a fuck. He's literally murdered before, right?
See, I don't remember what he's like in Classic Who.
We'll have to get it. Well, we'll get to it.
Yeah,
will you, podcast land.
Certainly as Missy, she doesn't give a fuck and will just turn and shoot.
That's
and
true.
One guy's dead.
But she's also very sinister and conniving, as in Missy is. She will blame others and she'll manipulate people. Not just fire blindly and, you know, run away. Which is kind of what the Master is doing here. Well, I mean, you assume he would, because there's no one left on the planet to shoot anyway. Like, everyone's gone off in that rocket.
That didn't make loads of sense to me. I was just like, okay. But the way he tried to kill her was kind of cool.
Yeah. How does the Doctor find out that he's the Master?
Don't they talk?
Does he say it outright?
Well,
he says, like, oh, call me by my, like, my real name. So on and
that's
so
when he's in the TARDIS and the Doctor's banging on the outside. Mm. I think the Doctor figures it out through Yana and Martha and he locks him out.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any communication at that point.
Yeah, but the say my name, bitch, is a good scene.
Yeah.
Yes. But then he goes, it's off! Bye-bye!
Oh, such an anticlimax. You go from Derek Jacobi to... Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of sad.
That was sad.
What did people think? This is a complete tangent.
Mm.
About Martha trying to get Chantho to swear. And why and what?
Kind of charming, I thought.
I think... Probably on some weird psychological level, she's trying to get herself to do something, you know.
Yeah, she doesn't dare rebel, so maybe she can get the bug to.
Mmm. That's a good theory.
Yeah,
it is a good theory.
Because I didn't really get it. And it seemed like this was the closest the BBC could get to swearing pre-Watershed. But I didn't understand any significance deeper than that.
Other than, or perhaps what they're trying to show is that or at least give some precursor to the fact that Chantho is going to shoot the professor, whom she loves, and to show the massive juxtaposition of gentle, lovely Chantho, mm-hmm. and look at Chantho being, you know...
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. to push her this far, you don't, you know...
There's the also, I mean, in a way, Chantho is... I mean, she's basically the Master's companion, mm. right?
Absolutely.
And we've had one prior occasion on New Who where two companions meet, or one companion meets a former companion. We had school reunion where Rose met...
Sarah Jane Smith.
Bingo, that's the one. And they also have that moment, that one scene where they chuckle a little bit, they bond, and it's over the Doctor that they bond. Mm. And in this one, you have Chantho and Martha bonding over their respective Doctors, you know, their respective Gallifreyans.
Yeah, their respective old white men.
Exactly. Yes. Mm. Yes, exactly.
Uncomfortable.
A little bit, yeah. Yes, got really sweaty in here.
Yeah, yeah. On my wasp throne. Can someone fix this for me?
I'm afraid we're not at boarding school anymore.
Derek Jacobi has won 2 Laurence Olivier Awards, a Tony, 2 Emmys, a BAFTA, and is currently playing Mercutio in Ken Branagh's production of Romeo and Juliet at the Garrick. Unfortunately, the curvature of the theatre makes seeing him from the cheap seats almost impossible. So the moral of this story is, and I say this by way of confession as the guilty party, never skimp when it comes to tickets bought as anniversary presents.
Okay. Right. I think we've covered everything.
That might be it, yeah.
Oh, no. The Doctor is...
Of course.
The Doctor... No, we haven't said much about...
One of several appendices.
We haven't said much about Tennant and how he's, again in this episode, head in the clouds, sky-high bellend. When he's...
The cloud sky high balance.
When Chantho says,
"Oh, make a t-shirt,"
which is your Skype name, isn't it? Is that
when Chantho says, "Is it conglomeration or something?" Yeah. Died. Mm. He's like, "Yes, I knew that was the word." And is it Captain Jack who has to remind him, "Doc, you're laughing over a ruined civilization and this sole survivor," and he's like, "Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm so sorry." He says sorry again at some point.
He does.
Why
yeah.
does he say sorry?
I can't remember.
I'm so sorry.
Does he say it to Chantho? Because she's dying.
Might be. We discovered, podcast land, that if you just try to say sorry and clench your teeth, you sound like David Tennant.
Yeah. How do you feel about his fake lisp? I'm assuming it's fake. I mean, or is that just a consequence of the clenched teeth?
I think so.
Like,
I'm sorry.
I can't do the voice at all.
Just try to speak normally, but clenched teeth.
Wow, my sibilance is stymied.
Yeah, there you go. That's a good one.
So clenched teeth, very angry,
yep.
constipated Tennant. Yep. All right, cool. Yeah.
But what I'm saying is he's just happy to have picked the right pre-genocide term instead of feeling any compassion. Are we still supposed to like the Doctor?
Well, that feels kind of, not at the time, obviously, but now, that feels kind of Capaldi-esque to me. Capaldi needs fucking cue cards to be reminded of ethics and compassion. Yeah.
No, but I don't think we get that because Tennant has the sorries bit, you know,
yes.
where he's...
No,
like,
you're right. He should be all about the compassion.
He's ultra compassionate. Yeah. And then not compassionate, whereas Capaldi at least is uniformly not compassionate, which is way more... Like, we just like consistency, don't we?
Yeah, pretty much.
In humans. Yeah. Or Time Lords. Basically anything bipedal.
Yeah. I got to admit that I wasn't as annoyed when he was doing that in that scene, but when he cut poor Jacobi to pieces, poor Professor YOLO, just...
YOLO.
just like, everything you're doing is wrong.
Why is that not? Why have we waited 50 minutes for you to crack that joke out?
So good.
Thank you, appendices.
So we're 50 minutes in. We've talked about everything in the episode, and these fucking Morlocks make little to no difference.
Yeah.
There's no point in them. I feel like they must have had bigger, better role in some description, in some earlier draft.
Maybe. I doubt it.
They mean that the Doc and Jack... And then Martha have to go downstairs and be separated from TARDIS and Jacobi.
Yeah, but, I mean, they have a character. There's, like, Head Morlock. Why does he get so much screen time?
Meet Morlock.
Also, why can they smell them through time?
Wait, what?
At the beginning, when they're going...
Yes.
They're like, humans are coming. How do they know?
Oh, like, that's probably not them, is it?
No,
it's
exactly.
Probably the guy who's running immediately after
exactly.
the
Exactly, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's a bit of misdirection.
Well, there was something. I can't remember what it
was. Does that cable not kill anyone?
Which cable?
The cable that Captain Jack, well, yes, it does kill him. So why doesn't it kill Chantho? Unless she has a very hard, electro-resistant carapace. I mean, goodness sake. Is the Master really that sloppy? I'm still annoyed.
I'm a little aroused by what you just said. That was pretty cool.
Carapace.
Electro-resistant carapace.
Nice.
Yeah, why not? But, you know, he's pretty hot. He's the Master for 2 minutes. This is an ongoing tragedy, much as I now like Michelle Gomez as Missy.
Mm-hmm.
I think she's better than Sim, to be honest. Although I did like Sim.
I think so, yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I did like Sim in the Timothy Dalton episode. But, even so, it still stings. Couldn't Jacoby have been the Master for, I don't know, half the next one?
Let it go, man.
Something. But when I let it go, that means he's truly gone.
Now. Well, maybe she can regenerate back into
Jacoby.
Well,
because where did he come from?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they do. Time Lords can do that now.
Yeah. Why not? You said that like the Senate passed a bill. Like, Time Lords can do that now.
They do. The Fifth just told us that the Time Lords can do that now. Opening the door for a Christopher Eccleston reunion.
Oh, and I'll only say this about the next week's preview.
Go for it.
They did a much better job this time of retaining the mystery.
Obfuscating the plot.
Yes, because, okay, John Sim is wreaking havoc in modern-day Britain, but Doc and Martha, nowhere to be seen. We don't know what's happened to them.
Yes, that's true. They haven't revealed what happens to them, but I feel like there were a lot of really, what looked anyway, like major plot points being revealed on the Sim side of the story.
Yeah, but we know he's evil already when he gets into the TARDIS, so that's not...
Yeah, but that also means, like, we already know that the second he steps into a cabinet meeting, he's going to kill everyone, or he's going to slap someone in the face, he's going
to
do
I mean, we have to expect that. He's got into the... We know he's the Master. So we're just waiting for him to...
See, I don't know so...
It would have been better if...
This is the first Master for probably most of current Who watches.
When Jacoby started regenerating, they should have stopped there. And then had a preview where...
Agreed, because it was such an anticlimax, and there was no way you could top it.
Mm.
Right. But, no. All right, whatever.
Let's be done.
Yeah. Reviews.
Reviews.
So, my review. I loved Derek Jacobi's performance. I mean, just modulating and building to a maniacal crescendo. I love it. I can't help but be in two minds about it, of course. There's a lot of complex plotting finally coming together here in great and not-so-great ways. The future kind bored me to tears, conceptually and visually. I like the rest of the end-time stuff. There's some heavy, if incoherent, sci-fi, much like in the last season-ending multi-parter, something RTD seems to regard as his shtick. It's okay, but I can never forgive him for Jacoby not being made the Master on a permanent basis. Never. Unless somehow Jacoby couldn't do it... We did get at least this episode and a few glorious moments. I quite liked Captain Jack and the rest of the setup in his interaction with Martha, talking about previous companions and Rose. Oh, she had to be blonde.
Such a good line, by the way. You're blogging or something.
Oh, the blogging completely ruined it.
No.
What did that mean?
What? No, that was so much fun.
What did it mean?
Wait, hang on. We're totally interrupting your review here, Drew. But, I mean, to me, that was like the Doctor revealing that he's this old guy who's so out of touch with the youngsters.
No, I think that's the BBC and the RTD completely being out of
touch. We're at the end of the universe, at the edge of knowledge itself, and you're busy blogging.
I think that's what that's what the BBC writers thought blogging was.
I don't think so. I really like that line, though. Anyway, sorry. Yeah. Carry on, dude.
And I agree with the rest of you that the end of the universe isn't strange enough. It's just below decks on the Titanic with some humans that have reverted to the mean and Morlocks. So I'll give it a 3.4.
All right. You or me?
Okay.
Go for it.
There's quite a lot I dislike about this. I couldn't get over the idea that in 100 trillion years, not all that much will have changed. And at the end of the universe, I would have preferred if this was like, if the Doctor said, oh, the first end of the universe or something like that, that'd have opened up in my brain this whole other potential. Wouldn't have to worry about it so much. But the end of the universe seemed fairly fucking final, and that it's not all that different from now sort of bothered me. And I could never really get over it to lose myself in the, you know, to suspend my disbelief for the rest of the episode. Derek Jacobi was awesome. I do lament his non-masteriness, you know, why he didn't get to be the Master for longer. Yeah, I wasn't understanding the rocket and the sci-fi shtick, like you said, or where they're going, or what the fuck was happening exactly. The chain link fence, the Mortlock. Yeah, what the fuck were the Mortlock? That again, I was assuming there would be some interplay between that two existing humans, future kind, and they all figure out that they're actually all people and they need saving too. I just didn't get it. Literally didn't understand. This was just preamble for the next bit, for the master. Had no real body to it. It's okay as setup goes, and when you find out that these people do or do not get to Udobia, it'll make a lot more sense.
Okay.
True. And then knowing where that goes, I think there are other ways to get there.
Hmm.
I'm going to go 2.9.
Wow. Right. Wow to both of you.
Yeah, you've pretty much already summarized this quite well, I think.
We're here for.
I agree with you on the Morlocks. However, I will add to that I love post-apocalyptic zombie army, barbarian, cannibal, you know, shit. I think that's kind of, it's sort of, maybe it's a guilty pleasure. Ladies and gentlemen, Drew is looking at me very incredulously.
So tired.
I love that shit.
I think that's kind of, I mean, there are a million films. I mean, Hollywood pumps out a million films with exactly that storyline. And you know what?
So do something different.
I'm okay with it. Every now and then I just want to turn my brain off and watch that sort of stuff. But I think that belongs in a completely different story. Like, that should be a story of its own. I don't really feel like it fit in here. I'm getting the thumbs up from Drew this time. Nice, thanks. Inaudible thumbs up. Anyway. Jacoby, what can I say? What a guy. What a dude. What an actor. Oh, my goodness.
I mean, we've had Carey Mulligan and...
Oh, no.
Big names in this series.
Yes, absolutely. We just had Carey Mulligan. We had Daisy from Spaced acting very well.
Can you imagine a spin-off? Daisy from Spaced...
Carey Mulligan and Derek Jacoby. Drew's coming. All right, so
Carey Mulligan's the Doctor, Derek Jacobi's still the Master, and Daisy from Space is the Companion.
Yes, yes. I mean, could we not be that daring? Why not? We're so weak and so timid.
Yep, literally no power.
I suppose that sounds like a fun spin-off. Yeah. Either way, I want to see more of Jacoby, and I'm heartbroken that I'm not going to, at least as far as I'm aware. I like the insects. I like that we got to see... We didn't talk about this. We got to see, like, the old hive, whatever it was called again. I can't remember the word now, but...
Conglomeration.
Bingo Bongo. Their abode, their city,
so basically Petra in space.
Yeah, it looked very much like Petra. I liked it. I thought it was pretty cool. What really drags this down, aside from the Morlocks, is... All right, it's twofold. Number one, it's the whole, it's the end of the universe shtick. Partly because, what does that mean? We've already discussed this ad nauseum. But also partly because, like, oh, the TARDIS got so freaked out that it sent me to the end of the universe, but, well, here we are.
And also, we go to an entirely...
There's a date for this? Like, what? Why? Explain this to me.
We also go to an entirely different end of the universe at the end of the most recent Capaldi series.
Oh, there you go. Yes. Well, I thought about that as well, but isn't that the end of the Earth, possibly? No, it's not. It is the end of the universe. You're right. Yes.
You go to the end of the Earth and with Eccleston.
Yes. Yeah, you're right. Part two. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Anyway, so that drags it down, but also, and possibly mainly, probably not mainly, but also... That juxtaposition going from Jacoby, who's a very serious, like a profound... Actually, yes, I'll call him a professor. I think he deserves it for having crafted a weird radar inspection room out of noodles and shit. To this really silly, too wibbly, too wobbly kid. I just felt like, oh, great, now the TARDIS is in the hands of Dennis the Menace rather than someone with the gravitas of the Master. And really, this is the first time that most people... I'm assuming that most people who watch Doctor Who have not seen Classic, are not aware of how the Master appeared and what he did and so on and so forth in Classic. Maybe they've seen a picture here and there, but, like, they don't really know him. So is this how you want to introduce it? Like, you introduce it with Jacoby and then you just... immediately take that away from them, and it's as though you're saying that was just a charade, and what the real Master is, it's this kid. Voila. That's a massive anticlimax and an incredible disappointment. Anyway, could go on. Loved Captain Jack, my final note here. Absolutely loved him. We didn't talk about this. He clings to the TARDIS and flies through the vortex. I thought that was hilarious. I really liked that. I thought it was very, very cool.
I did think, if he was to die...
Is he going to let go?
Why does he fall off here?
Rigor mortis, dude.
Oh, right.
Yeah. No, okay, I'm giving this a... because of Jacoby, and because it's a three-parter. Oh, and also, because if what I think I remember about Utopia is actually true, that bumps it up a little bit, because that's kind of cool. I'm giving this a 3.2. Boom. Done. No listener minis. If you have listener minis, please do send them to whobackwhen@gmail.com. Who back when, all in one word. And that way you're absolutely assured that we will receive your minis.
Yes, please keep them to 250 words or we will make them 250 words.
Yes, exactly. Very nice. Oh, God, that was so intimidating.
Jacoby's been rubbing off on me. I wish.
Wow. I got a very strange visual just now.
Thanks very much for listening, Podcast Land. We hope you enjoyed the show. You can catch us between shows, day to day, hilarity, from the three of us. We are all on Twitter. Leon, where can you be found in the cyberspace?
Well, you can find me. I'm at Ponkin. Here's a soundbite of JD, seeing how you spell that.
P-O-N-K-E-N, Ponkin.
Thanks, JD. Nick, how about you?
I just tweeted the word cock, so just Google that. Or search for it on Twitter and you'll probably find me.
Yeah, because if you Google cock, there's nothing else on the internet.
Just put it
Nick
on.
Is the number one result.
Yeah, just hashtag cock and I'll pop up. Okay.
Lovely.
And I can be found at Drew Back When.
Which will also appear in the research. The search result.
Yeah.
Bada bada bing bong hey.
Thanks again for listening. What's up next for New Who? We have
Sound of Drums.
And the next classic Who is
The Mind Robber.
That's right. And the next audio Who review is going to be of The Cannibalists. Thanks again for listening. Catch us in the next one. Rock on, be right next to each other, and ciao.
Bye.
Kablamo! Did you enjoy the show? Then please do what the cosmos compels you to and spread the gospel of Who Back When. Tell your friends. Don't have any friends? No problemo. Tell some strangers. Like us on Facebook. That's facebook.com/WhoBackWhen. All in one word. Are you on Google Plus? Then find us on Google Plus. That's plus Who Back When. And when you do, tell us why you're on Google Plus. Who Back When just got its very own Twitter account, no lie, so give us a follow. You guessed it, that's @WhoBackWhen, all in one word. Check us out on SoundCloud, vote us up on Reddit, listen to us on Stitcher, and head on over to our website, whobackwhen.com, where you can leave a comment, submit a review of your own, and peruse our visual index of aliens, monsters, and more, which increases in kablamos with every episode. And lastly, give us a rating and review on iTunes. Not only would it make us super chuffed, and it really, really would, but as thanks, we will transmigrate your iTunes nom de plume into the credit list of trailers for fake Doctor Who audiobooks produced by Who Back When. Have a poke around our bonus episodes to make more sense of that. That's it. Rock on and be rad and excellent to each other. Catch your earballs in our next classic Who review, new Who review, or, still funny, audio Who review. Ciao.
Who Back When.